Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh boy, what a day to be together celebrating and worship together. In this moment, to start things off, we have our gentlemen in the corners with our microphones. Do we have anything to start things off with this great day of worship for any prayer concerns or moments of joy we'd like to share with each other as the life of the church? Anyone? Have anything you'd like to make us aware of that we can lift up together?
I have a real quick concern. I know that Jesus had a crown of thorns and gave it up for a crown of glory, but we had a crown of thorns on our cross, and it's missing. if anybody happens to see it rolling along out somewhere, if you could possibly pick up the crown of thorns and maybe take it to the office or give it to somebody here that so we can put it on next year. Thank you.
All right, if anybody has any leads to the crown of thorns. But yes, it is. That's part of our great heritage and tradition, so we'd like to be able to get a hold of that to be able to celebrate. Yes. Anyone else? No? Do we have any announcements that aren't printed in the bulletin we need to have?
Okay, y'all need to pretend I'm Gayla, okay?
All right.
She left me a message, and the garage sale is this coming week on Thursday and Friday from 8 to 6. But you can start bringing your things in Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 6. And she needs help, so give her a call or a text, okay? Thank you.
Right. Very good, Bobby Eagle. Anyone else today? Any announcements? No? Helen, do you have something coming up that you'd like to share with us?
Just a minute.
Just a second. We're going to reach out in faith and give Helen Henshaw a microphone.
The Red Butterflies are having lunch at Liberty Lanes tomorrow.
And what time, if somebody wants to join you?
11:30.
11:30 at Liberty Lanes for the Red Butterfly meeting. Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
This is just for next year. We are in need of a middle school Sunday school teacher, someone that could do it, you know, every Sunday, give or take. And obviously, you can have some days off. But so we're in need of someone to do the middle school. It's third grade through sixth grade. So if you know of anybody, you can let myself know or Aaron Moore. And it's fun. So join our team, please.
All right. So start in prayer for that and searching if you're being led to lead for the middle school next year. Anyone else? No? Okay. Do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? Any birthdays? Yes. The 22nd. Fantastic. All right. Well, isn't that great that even though it's after past, we still celebrate that today? Thanks, Mom. Anyone else? Cheyenne. It's your birthday today, right? And that's no joke. It's today. Okay. Anyone else celebrating today?
Haley's is 2 weeks from today, but she won't be here 2 weeks. She's only going to college.
Oh, all right. Fantastic. So 2 weeks from today, but we're going to sing as part of that today is for you. So just remember that in a couple of weeks when we're here. We're thankful you're here. 21 years old. All right. Now, I've only seen some pictures, but I know some of you firsthand would know when she was about this high and... And now she's 21. We're thankful that you're here with us today. Anybody else? I think I saw another hand over there.
Alex will be 17 on the 17th.
Alex, 17 on the 17th. Wow. All right. So the world will celebrate Tax Day while you're celebrating your birthday. What a great honor that is. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, good for you guys. Thankful that you're here with us today and you're going to be celebrating your birthday. All right. Anyone else? A lot of birthdays. Well, let's go ahead and sing. Can we do that? Right. Do we have any anniversaries that we're celebrating? Any anniversaries? No? Okay, well, let us hand things over to our choir, who is in their new VIP seating for this week, so we're thankful for that, and we'll hand things over. You're in a different spot, but we thank you so much for your ministry and for preparing a place for us on this very special Sunday. We'll hand things over to you to prepare our center for worship. Would you please stay in that moment of serene worship and join me for our opening prayers. We ask for the Lord's blessing upon our gathering together today. Almighty and matchless God, for today we give you endless thanks and endless praise. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. Lord, would your Holy Spirit surround us, protect us, and comfort us. Lord, and you'd led us to this place. Let us be changed. Let us be renewed as we are all preparing as inheritors of the kingdom of God. Lord, would you take glory in all that is said and done in your name today? We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is the time of song where some of us will be singing the large charging songs of Easter that we have. Some of us might need to take a bit of a breath and breather because it's going to take all that we have in our lungs to sing some of our great songs of our faith. But today, some of these songs that we proclaim, some of these favorites, they take on a special meaning today because we understand the spirit in which they were written. So I would ask you to take in that spirit and please stand if you're able. We'll sing number 302 in our hymnal, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. We'll sing, we have all six? We have all six of the verses up? Okay. And dear friends, may we be seated as we move on to this special opportunity we have for our puppet ministry.
Well, we're all disciples. We wrote books of the Bible and we preach everywhere we go. We preach about Jesus and we preach about truth so all of the people will know. 'Cause our master, he died. Yes, he was crucified and he told us all we should have known. That our Lord would be raised back to life in 3 days on the morning of the rolling stone.
Rolling stone.
Gonna tell my sisters and my brothers.
Stone.
Gonna say he's risen to my mother.
Stone.
Jesus conquered death and hell
on the morning of the rolling stone.
Sunday morning, the ladies, they went to the tomb early. Somebody said, do not fear. And there was a heavenly angel telling them he's not here.
See, the stone's rolled away. He's alive today. And your sins have been atoned. So go tell his disciples to prepare for his arrival on the morning of the rolling stone.
Rolling stone.
Gonna tell my sisters and my brothers.
Stone.
Gonna say he's risen to my mother.
Stone.
Jesus conquered death and hell
on the morning of the rolling stone.
Well, a couple met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, but he was not recognized. He appeared to doubting Thomas and showed him his hands and side. He restored all his brethren and ascended to heaven, where he still sits on the throne. And now we can be forgiven, all because Christ was risen on the morning of the rolling stone.
Rolling stone.
Gonna tell my sisters and my brothers.
Stone.
Gonna say he's risen to my mother.
Stone.
Jesus conquered death and hell
on the morning of the rolling stone. On the morning of the rolling stone.
Tell my sisters and my brothers.
Stone.
Gonna say he's risen to my mother.
Stone.
Jesus conquered death and hell
on the morning of the rolling stone.
Pay no attention to the Jesus descending from heaven there. We are thankful for our puppet ministry and for those who organize this, for Sue Hale for putting this together, and for everyone willing to share their time and their gifts. And Mr. Tom also using his unparalleled gifts and orchestrating some of the set and things like that we have here. We're thankful for that type of expression that we can have today and for those moments that we have. I don't know if that was the first time any of you have ever taken in the puppet ministry, but there's a personal favorite. The folks that double as the wise men for our Advent, they're so versatile. They have such a high range from who they can play and their voice octave levels, so we're thankful for those characters that are here. So could we please stand to the occasion again if you're able, and we'll sing together this great song of our faith. This is speaking to us. Easter people, raise your voices. Please stand if you're able. 304, Easter people, raise your voices.
Thank you.
seated. And as we find our seats today, we can sing together number 170, Oh How I Love Jesus. Number 170, Oh How I Love Jesus. What a wonderful statement of our faith. Before we move on to our service, as we sang together, we love Christ because Christ first loved us. It won't be the crux of the message today, but have you ever heard the phrase, being a fool for Christ? Now today being April Fool's Day, there was a great opportunity to try to come up with something very witty, very funny, very charming about how April Fool's Day is connected with the resurrection and how we can look at that. But in this moment, I'd like us to invite to focus on what would it mean to suffer and be a fool for Christ? That would mean the rest of this world, well, not the rest, the majority of this world, I think we can agree, statistics show, this is just another Sunday. My dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is why we gather each and every week. This is the truth of our faith. This is what we stand upon. We cling to the cross. This is not just another Sunday. Would we be willing to play the fool for Christ and make sure that that is not forgotten in our lives, and we would give word and testimony to what Jesus has done in us, not because we chose Christ first, but because Jesus first loved us. It's been our tradition throughout this entire season of Lent and brings us to Resurrection Sunday today for us to think about the Apostles' Creed. If those of you are joining us today for the first time or not in a while, or you're not familiar with it, this is a creed, a statement of faith, the things that we believe in. And I would invite you to see these things and to say them out loud, not just for pronunciation, but would it become a claiming of our soul as we look at these mighty truths and understand these truths are what lead this to not being just another Sunday. Would you please join me as we say as one body and one voice of believers,
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended
things that set us free. There's an opportunity for us now to join together in prayer. Would you please respond after this moment of prayer with the Lord's Prayer? Now, before we get started, there is something that I want us to think about in this moment of prayer. In this pastoral response, It's not only for us, but it's for those who have yet to hear the good news, which is what we are celebrating today. It's for a community that is always changing, and the needs are always apparent. Would we please be in that state when we have this moment of prayer, and then I'll invite us to say the Lord's Prayer together. Gracious God, you know all of us so intimately. You care for us so deeply. You desire time, relationship, commitment, and sacrifice from us, Lord, but it's nothing that you haven't already given for us, and we've reaped the blessings. Lord, let us reach within ourselves to honor you, to serve this church, your church, this community, and in this world, that on the lips of our testimony, your Son Jesus would be revealed to this world, and life would begin anew through the power of Christ. Let us also be the willing hands and feet to do the literal heavy lifting that needs to be done so the world will be prepared to hear that our lives are different because of the resurrected Lord. Death was defeated, and we serve a living Savior today. As disciples of Jesus, we sought how do we pray and honor God when we come together in prayer. And this prayer we are about to say together as a body of faith was inspired by Christ's response. Could we say together aloud in one voice as brothers and sisters in Christ, Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power,
choir has an anthem for us today. Linda, do you have any words of introduction for us today? No?
Thank you.
Thankful for not only the gifts and talents of our choir and the anthem today, but what a message it brings today. Again, what brings us to our faith, what brings us to this conviction is the truth of Christ's death and resurrection. Victory over the one enemy that in history had yet to be defeated. And it brings us to a moment where we think to ourselves, what is it we have to fear when Jesus has conquered the enemy of fear? In this moment, before we take a look at the gospel account according to Luke today and his portion of the resurrection story, it's interesting because all four gospels, of course, cover the resurrection as this is such a pivotal moment in Scripture. But in this moment, everyone has a little bit of a different take or things that they pull away from it, facts that they want us to know, similar to where it would be for us if we have these moments where we're telling a story of our faith or telling something that we've seen. We would all have I don't want to say a slant on it, but we would all have our personal opinions or influence on that. And here's this moment where we have from Luke that reminds us exactly that moment, that it calls us to remember. And for those of us looking around, there's a few new faces that I don't think I've met before today, but most of us I've seen at various times gathered together in service. Some of us from out of town, some of us that are here regularly. But in this moment, I'm not sure that there's anything that I'm going to say today that's going to be the first time that you've heard it. Maybe there will be, and for that we give a hallelujah moment. And for those of you joining on the radio, maybe I don't know all of you that well, so maybe there will be some things that we say today that you haven't heard or understood before. But for most of us that are gathered here together today, we came with purpose because it's not just an ordinary Sunday. We come here today because we want to retell the story. We want to celebrate the truths that we know, our faith that we cling to. And it's in that moment of remembering, I want us to think of that moment when we're sharing these eight verses from Luke chapter 24. It's all in the remembering. The resurrection. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of Lord Jesus. Verse 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed their heads and faces to the ground. But the men then said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." And in verse 7, it reminds us what Jesus said to them. Jesus said, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And finally, in our reading today, verse 8 says, "And after hearing these words, they remembered just as he'd said." He is risen just as he said. Now, in these moments, we hear of this fear, of this unknown, because in a way that I'm not going to craft a very wonderful put out together April Fool's Day moment. But would you agree in this moment that whether it was April Fool's Day or not, April 1st, that the world would celebrate in these moments, when the tomb was empty, they tried to explain or figure out how this could happen, because this isn't, experience would tell us that when they went here to honor Christ, and that's why we're here today, right? It's to honor Christ and Christ's presence and life in our lives, but they came out of respect to honor him, and his body was gone. Would it be that difficult to understand that they might be thinking someone was playing a very cruel joke on them? That someone must have been trying to fool them. Someone must be trying to do something that wasn't true to lead them to doubt. But it's in this moment when the women, when us as humankind, didn't understand our fright and our confusion, couldn't quite explain it, that they bowed their heads and tried to figure it out. These two angels asked them the very simple question, "Why? Why are you looking for Jesus here?" To them it's so plain, right? To them it's so plain because Jesus already told you what was going to happen. Very clearly, very sure. Jesus prophesied many times. He fulfilled Scripture. Jesus said this was going to happen. Yet the women still went there, as humankind went there, and expected to find Jesus still dead and buried. Because again, at this moment, it's still not the norm today, but until this moment, that's never happened. Someone had not been dead and then risen again. No one had won the battle over death. There was great fear amongst that truth. Yet it wasn't a new truth that the angels brought to us. It wasn't a new truth, maybe for some of us today, but for most of us, it's not a new truth that we bring today, but it's simply asking us to remember. Today we remember our faith story. We remember what Jesus said. We remember what Jesus has done. When we think about the faithful promises that Jesus makes and the return, we sing about it and we pray about it. We know that the second coming is upon us, and it's sooner today than it was yesterday as the generations to come. And maybe some of you grew up with a similar inflection that I did. Quite literally, my grandmother would always say, before I got into something or before I hung out with who she called a hoodlum friend sometimes, that she wished the Lord would come before any more darkness would happen, before any more cruelty or sadness could happen in this world, often watching the news and saying, Lord Jesus, come before it gets any worse. Have you ever maybe said that or been around that context where we were inviting the second coming of Christ to come soon before anything else would happen? It can be very difficult because we don't know when that's going to happen. We do believe in Christ's second coming because Jesus tells us that that's going to happen. When we look back at these faithful promises, do we remember when we hear Jesus' words that Jesus has never made a promise that he hasn't faithfully fulfilled? So the promises that are out there, how do we have any doubt that they will come true as well? That is why the pastor will challenge you always to read the scripture, to delve into it, because there when you see these truths, it's not a historical truth for the sake of history knowing. It's a living word because we remember what Jesus says. We remember the way he simplified all the law and all the Old Testament to two things. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, body, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' words, we remember how we were supposed to live our lives. Just as the women here representing humankind remembered, what did Jesus say? And Jesus has done it or is preparing to do it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are waiting on Jesus. Some of us are waiting on Jesus in different ways. We're calmly and patiently waiting for Jesus, right? To arrive in a situation, to heal a situation. Some of us are more urgently, desperately waiting for Jesus to arrive in a situation. We're inviting him. Maybe if we hope we can use different words in desperation that Jesus will somehow hear that more clearly than our prayers before. Maybe we're praying for those who don't recognize the name of Jesus as being Savior, as Master, as Teacher. Maybe we're praying for the hurt to turn into peace in this world. Maybe we're praying, just as I mentioned some of my grandmother earlier, praying for the second coming of Christ so we can just be on with it already. Would you agree that for many situations, we are all waiting on Jesus for what's next? Not because we are put aside for Christ, not because Jesus isn't here amongst us, but we're always waiting for the next thing, aren't we? How many of us have celebrated in our lives when we accomplish something? Does it last more than 24 hours usually? Right? Or the end of the day? And then we're on to the next thing, right? How many times we have a Ryan, you're a senior in high school, you're going to be bombarded with the question of congratulations, and in that same handshake, they're going to ask, so what's next? 18 years, what's next? Right? 12 years of school, what's next? Right? Haley, you've been through this already, what's next? Right? People, what's next? What's happening after that? Well, after you get your degree, what's happening then? What's going to happen? We want all the answers. We always want to know what's next. What about right now? Jesus is alive right now. Jesus has power that is unmatched right now. Perfect faithfulness right now. We can pray and wait for what's next, but let us remember Christ's words, that there is power in us now from the arrival of the Holy Spirit. There is power on this side of us, on this side, behind and forward for us. My dear friends, we can't just wait for Christ to arrive and receive us into the kingdom until our time has come. Until that time comes, if it is not in this moment, if it is not in the next hour, if it is not before we sit down to dinner tonight with our friends and family, then we have people to reach with this unmatched greatest news of all creation. Is that in fact Jesus did die from that horrible instrument of death. But Jesus kept his word 3 days later. And we gather together in the shadow of that cross because it no longer has power over us. Today I understand. Today I understand that some of us might be gathering together for tradition, for family. And someone's casserole or main dish isn't going to be quite right because they didn't make it this year. And even though we follow the best recipe of whoever may not be here, it's just not the same. That there will be a chair, there will maybe a car that isn't parked in the parking lot or a chair that isn't filled. There will be an emptiness and it'll get us right here. It'll hurt us right here and that pain will be very real, but it is only temporary because 3 days after death, Jesus said, enough with you, death, we are going to be on with it. And you will not have reign over me or my kindred. My dear friends, my heart goes out to you if there's someone who will not be at your Easter dinner today. But it will be for a moment. It will hurt today. Jesus didn't say there wouldn't be hurt. But Jesus did defeat death. And when we partake in this meal together, when we take of the broken body of Christ, when we stain ourselves with the spotless blood of the Lamb, the one who is only without sin did for us what no one else could, we inherit that kingdom and know that Jesus says we will live forever on the other side of heaven. We take that last breath here, and when we open our eyes, we will see the Savior with nail scars in his hands to say, I loved you first. Would we be a fool for Christ? Because Christ was a fool for us. They gambled for his clothes. They spit and they beat him. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They said, if you are really the Son of God, if you are all you claim to be, then come down off this cross. And Jesus had but a moment to think and summon the angels. He could have done it without even speaking it out loud. But Jesus said, no, I will not save myself. I will save you. Jesus said, I will not save myself. I will save you. God's most perfect love was justified that day. My dear friends, we've come to celebrate that truth. The truth that is not known, that it's an ordinary Sunday to the majority of this world. How will they know the love, the sacrificial, encompassing love that's unmeasurable from Jesus if we don't show them, if we don't tell them? What do we have to lose? We can add them up. Jesus lost everything, but he conquered death for us. There is nothing that humankind can take away from us, and they can't take away that promise. Now, I would ask that we think of those moments together today. We remember, not only did Christ die for us, Christ lives forever, victorious over the grave. Jesus didn't just live for humankind over 2,000 years ago. Jesus lives still for us today. Has been our tradition throughout this season to think of this covenant prayer from John Wesley. And I would invite you to think of these words if we've been saying them the weeks leading up, or if it's our first time, whether you're unfamiliar with it, let these words seep into your soul, that we will be whatever, however God needs us, that however we are to be used, whether it's to be something that would bring great attention to ourselves, whether it be something we do humbly, whether it be something that takes our indirect effort or our direct effort, can we read these words and understand that whatever we need to be, however we need to be, that the Lord will use us for the glory of His Son, Jesus. Could we say these words together, brothers and sisters in Christ? I am no longer.
Put me to what thou wilt. Grant me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things, but let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven.
It's very seriously this covenant prayer, this holy and sacred promise. Leading up till today, till Palm Sunday, we talked a lot about covenants, the covenants of God. And that's why they become so powerful, because they weren't covenants that we made with each other or that we made with God. It's a covenant that God made with us. But we've been saying this prayer that's on our end, a covenant promise we've made to God, that we've declared out loud. Let these words of this covenant promise that we've just said together be written on our hearts so that we don't walk too far from them, to be however and whoever we need to be for the glory of Jesus in our lives. This brings us now to our communion table, because we think about the great Passion Week that led us before. Some of us took this literal journey with us amongst this week as we've worshiped in different spaces, in different ways. And in this moment, I'd like us to think about Easter doesn't always fall on the same day. I don't know if many of you are excited when you flip over the January 2018 calendar, or if you'll do the same thing in 2019 and figure out what exact day does Easter fall on, because there's so many scientific blah, blah, blah that tells us when that day is going to be. I say blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. It's out of ignorance. I don't know the scientific reasons and all the things, how we figure out what day that's going to be. But it always changes. But the truth never changes. And so often we gather together. It's not often the first Sunday of the month, which is our tradition to have communion. But this isn't any ordinary Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday, and it happens to fall on the first Sunday of the month. So it's an honor for us to be able to celebrate the Eucharist table together. How appropriate in this moment that we are asked to remember the sacrifice of Christ on the day we highly exalt the victory that's unmatched that Jesus had. Because on the night when Jesus was betrayed, when he knew the suffering that was going to be upon him, when he knew the betrayal of the human heart that would lead him into arrest and death, Jesus sat around the table. That up until that moment, the greatest act in history of God amongst us was the Passover, was deliverance from slavery. Jesus at that meal announced there would be something different. There would be a new victory that would be brought to them. Jesus took the bread and asked for God's blessing on it. And when it was received, Jesus broke the bread in front of those he loved, the disciples, and said, "You've journeyed with me so long. See this broken bread before you. Take and eat it. And as often as you take of this bread and this meal, would you remember that it will be my body that has been torn and broken apart for you. As often as you eat this broken bread, never forget a sacrifice that was my choice to make, but it should have been your body, not mine. But I have taken your place." the end of the meal, still sitting in that sacred space. Perhaps the disciples were wondering what Jesus was doing, how he was changing things that they expected. Maybe like in Scripture, they were thinking, what is this different that you're doing, trying to figure it out? Jesus then held the cup of suffering up. He asked for God's blessing on it. When it was received, Jesus offered the cup to everyone there, even Judas, who betrayed him. Jesus offered this cup that as often as you taste it, he said, would your soul be stained by the grace of my blood? As often as you taste this cup, would you remember my blood that was poured out as a mark of the new covenant, my new promise to you, that you will never be able to outrun my grace, my love, my forgiveness, and my mercy. As often as you take of this cup, know that I have suffered for you, and death will no longer be yours to inherit. This blood will wash away your sin as I've taken it upon myself. Could I ask our communion stewards to come forward who will be assisting with the meal? The United Methodist Church, we have an open table. We'll be taking by intinction, which means take a piece of bread and dip it into the cup. And in this moment, we'd ask that as the ushers dismiss you, please come forward. You don't have to show your membership card, or you don't have to say who you came with today. If you feel led to renew your commitment to Christ and to faith and to this holy truth, please come forward. If the ushers come past you and you can't come forward for whatever reason, let them know. Let no obstacle hold between you and the table. It is now open. Thank you. Table that has been prepared for us. Let it be a meal that we realize always keeps us full, nourished, and satisfied. We'd ask our ushers to begin the offering as we look in thankfulness for what the Lord has already done for us today. Love for us. We offer these gifts to you, thankful for the things you have already done for us, with the promise that you will continue to live on our behalf. Lord, we ask that these gifts you would multiply and see that would reach your ends, so that good news would fall from our ministries. Lord, we love you. We pray these things in the matchless name of Christ. Amen. And as our ushers find their way to their spot, I do need to have this moment to just say, I apologize for any inconvenience of the ushering from the back. That was completely my idea. So I don't know what I was thinking, but maybe that is a bit of April Fool's Day on you, that you weren't prepared to take it from behind. But we gave you the offering back there, so I apologize for the back row. You probably weren't prepared for that. And so to the counters, if things are hastily written out, I apologize for that. So could we sing together this great song of our faith? This top requested song, pulled by laity and clergy alike, He Lives. This is what our faith hangs on. Can we sing together number 310, He Lives?
I serve a risen Savior.
My dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we sang over three times, the way is narrow. It's not wide catching. The resurrection needs to mean something. It needs to stir within our lives that we would be encouraged by the narrow way, that it would cause daily changes and sacrifices and joy in our lives. Could we join together as disciples of Christ on the narrow way? Could we be encouraged to be fools for Christ because it's only risking the scorn of this world, but the pleasure and joy in our risen Savior? Could we go today encouraged with our steps to follow the Prince of Peace into this world and to rejoice that this is no Sunday like the rest? This is Resurrection Day 2018. Would it lead our hearts, our minds, and our spirit as we go today empowered by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, through which all things can be done for God's glory. Amen.